crazy, crazy, crazy. I'm jumping out of my skin. I can't believe the Steelers won.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Pittsburgh's won the Super Bowl. Here we go.
Steelers gonna win the Super Bowl.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Pittsburgh's won the Super Bowl. Here we go.
Super Bowl, baby.
Thursday, September 5th, 2013. Welcome, listeners, to The Standard is the Standard, the show that goes behind the steel curtain to talk Steelers football. The show is hosted by Neil Coulong, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and co-hosted by Lance Williams, former host of Steel Curtain Radio. And listeners, before we get started, let me ask you just one question. Are you ready for some Steeler football?
Y'all ready? They ready? Well, come on. Well, come on. Y'all ready? They ready? We ready? We ready? Well, come on. We ready? We ready? Come on. Grab on. Break, grab on. Break, grab on. Break, grab on. We ready? We ready?
Hey, what's up, Steelers Nation? This is Neil Coulong, managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. Joining me tonight on The Standard is The Standard, Lance Williams, the former host of Steel Curtain Radio. Lance, how's it going tonight?
Oh, it's going great, and I'm excited about the new season, a new season of Steeler football 2013, and just a new season of NFL football overall. It's been a long time since we've watched a meaningful game, considering the Steelers did not make it to the playoffs, so it's nice just to be buckling up and watching some football.
Now, that's the thing that got me today. For whatever reason, it didn't dawn on me that the season officially starts Thursday night, and for those wondering, we are recording this Wednesday evening, roughly 24 hours from the kickoff of the NFL season, the Baltimore Ravens at the Denver Broncos, a rematch of that playoff game last year. Not that we care about either of those teams, though, Lance. The Steelers will be kicking off against the Tennessee Titans at 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday in Week 1 action. And I think you hit the nail on the head. We have not seen a Steelers game of any kind of significance in quite a while. That would have been Week 15. What ended up being a 13-10 loss. Am I right on that score? 13-10 loss to the Cincinnati Bengals.
You're absolutely correct.
In a game where the Steelers offense was beaten about as soundly, I think, as we've seen them in the last couple of years, perhaps. I'm only going to say that. I'm only going to mention that game for two reasons. We're going to kick the show off. One, I want to talk about the Steelers offense this upcoming season. And two, how that offense is going to look against the Tennessee Titans. And I'm going to preface it with this, Lance. Have we gone into a season and known less about what a Steelers offense is going to do than we have this one?
It's interesting that you bring that up, and I think you hit the nail on the proverbial head, to use cliche number one. And listeners, I do use cliches, but I try to craft and weave them into my tapestry expertly.
That's two, isn't it?
With that being said, I think you're absolutely right. You know, with Le'Veon Bell being out, with Rettman being the starter, with Dwyer being cut, Marcus Wheaton, you know, five mysterious tight ends. None of them can play except for Heath Miller. There's no idea what this offense is going to look like, and with, you know, a very young offensive line. I think in saying that, that makes this season that much more compelling, and it's going to make it fun to watch week to week.
I like that. Five different tight ends. The only one of them that can play is Heath Miller, because Heath Miller is the one that probably isn't going to play. Instead, we'll have a poo-poo platter of David Johnson, David Paulson, Michael Palmer, and whoever else you want to throw in there. It sounds like Kelvin Beachum. The utility offensive lineman is going to get some snaps at some point in the tight end position. Now, if you look at that, let's talk about that. Beachum, the fact that he seems to be able to play, or at least is said to be able to play, six different positions on the offensive line. Is he just some kind of genius, or is Mike Tomlin crazy?
I think Mike Tomlin is crazy, and I think the construction of the roster is somewhat crazy, and I think the construction of the roster somewhat falls on, you know, Kevin Colbert and just putting so many assets in so few ball players. So, you know, the way they've managed their cap, your depth is going to be one guy having six personalities, or maybe seven, like Carey. Maybe his name should be Kelvin Carey Beecham.
That's probably a good idea. Remind me to write that one down. I think the main issue with the Steelers tight end position is exactly how they're going to be used. Now, I don't know about you, and watching David Paulson play over this preseason, I did not see a guy that could block in line. I didn't see somebody that had any strength at the point of attack. In fact, I think this guy's number should be in the 40s, and they may as well just make him the H-back that they want him to be. They're not going to use him as an inline blocker unless he's going out for pass patterns. Otherwise, he's going to be in motion. That's the only time that you're going to see him be able to get a solid block on basically any NFL level outside linebacker or defensive end. He's not able to hold his own at the point of attack. I didn't see enough of Michael Palmer to really be able to make much of you know, hide or hair over his ability to step in and play right away. I think the fact of the matter is, this team is counting on Heath Miller coming back earlier rather than later, and until they get him back, they're not going to have good edge blocking. They're not going to be able to really protect those outside pass rushers. That brings me to a second point, along with the offensive line that we were just discussing. Keeping Ben Roethlisberger upright is absolutely paramount and critical to this season. Are they going to be able to do that, or are they basically just fooling themselves and thinking that this unit is going to be able to pass protect this season?
I think they're not going to be able to pass protect consistently, and I think Steeler fans and Steeler Nation is just going to have to hope that Ben Roethlisberger holds up, because if you look at preseason, he got hit far too many times that I think anyone in Steeler Nation felt comfortable with. So it's just going to be a wild ride and an adventure week in and week out. And if you're breaking down these games, listeners, you might want to look at opposing teams' defensive ends or outside linebackers and their ability to get pass rush, because you might just want to, you know, hopefully keep your lunch down, because there are going to be some moments where pass protection is going to be flat out ugly.
Watch tomorrow night, the Baltimore Ravens, their pass rush. You're going to see a team that's going to put some fear into their opposition this season. But let's get back to the linebackers, because the linebackers, to me, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, was the position group that stood out the most this preseason, for how much ever preseason is really worth. On one hand, it looked like they had a lot of lesser-known linebackers who were stepping in and making plays. I was really impressed with Alan Baxter. I thought Marshall McFadden did a pretty decent job. I really liked the way Brian Roll looked, and he's not all that young of a player, but I thought he looked good enough to possibly make this team. None of them did. You got Alan Baxter in the practice squad, but Marshall McFadden's now in Oakland, and I don't know where Brian Roll is, if anywhere. But the linebacking group, the inside in particular, talk to me a little bit about that. What did you think about the selections of Stevenson Sylvester and Vince Williams over the rest of the pack? What did you think of them?
I thought that was curious at best. I mean, the guys that you mentioned, and you probably looked at them a little bit closer than me, than I did, I should say. But I will say that I agree with you that those guys look hungry, particularly the young guy that's in Oakland. I mean, those guys were flying around making plays, and they looked very physical, and they looked like hungry football players. So it's very interesting that Sylvester is one of the guys that remained in Williams. But overall, I mean, I just think the construction of the roster is somewhat curious overall anyway. And I think the point you're making is that this linebacker position just illustrates that overall.
Let me ask you this then, because where I really wanted to go, and I think this is kind of interesting from a roster makeup perspective, of that group, as far as years with the team and years of experience, Sylvester is the most experienced one. Of the guys they cut, Vince Williams is probably roughly the cheapest one. is that something of a long way of saying the team is somewhat optimistic, at least, about the return of Sean Spence this season? Does it possibly indicate later on, now that Spence has been placed on the PUP, he's out for, I believe, at least until the end of week 6 or week 7 or whatever that is. In that time, though, if Vince Williams stays on that roster, if he's off it and not activated for any more than 8 games, he's eligible to continue on the practice squad. Do you think they're, and I don't want to call it a conspiracy, but with Spence being available, a guy that they've obviously put a lot of time and a lot of money into to rehab over the last year from a pretty nasty injury at the end of the preseason in 2012, do you think that they're kind of, you know, holding out a spot for him this season?
It would seem that way, and I would think that that's foolish and a bit foolhardy. Sean Spence hasn't played any football, and I know they see him a lot more than we do. They see him in practice, so on and so forth, but he's been rehabbing an injury for quite a bit of time. I don't think he's had any contact for quite some time. Unless he showed like he was the next coming of the next great linebacker in a limited amount of time that he played, it doesn't really make sense that they're putting this amount of resource and effort into Sean Spence. He's just another unknown to me amongst many unknowns on that roster.
And that's going to be something I think that will play out throughout the season, whether Spence does have any playing time in his future this season. I certainly think he's a fan favorite, though, and for what, from a hope standpoint, I think he's kind of become a catalyst among the fans, at least, about somebody that, you know, can overcome a pretty significant tragedy as far as his career goes, and be able to get out on the field to one of the more legendary positions in the NFL, which is a linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You hope that he can. I think from the same perspective that you mentioned earlier, he, at the very least, he has the physical ability to be one of those fly around the ball kinds of guys. You know, I think as far as Steelers linebackers go, the speed and athleticism has been hit and miss the last couple of years. You know, sometimes it appears Lawrence Timmons, despite the fact that he is arguably one of the most physically gifted linebackers in the NFL, he isn't always there. I mean, you see games like against Philadelphia where he just completely takes over, and it really looks like he did his homework and the mental side and the physical side came together for him. But there are games, too, that he's not really there. He's not making plays. And Larry Foote is a smarter player than he is a physically gifted player at this point in his career. Younger guys that can run to the ball right now, I think that's probably what I would want to see out of the Steelers linebackers more than anything else. Which brings us to the Steelers' first-round draft pick, Jarvis Jones. What did you think of his preseason? Because I came away very impressed with the level of athleticism and the strength that he showed.
I was very impressed with Jarvis Jones as well. And, you know, when you hear some of the reports, when they talk about players, he has a nose for the ball. He just makes plays. When he's on the field, things tend to happen. Sometimes, you know, I take all that stuff with a grain of salt. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I've kind of heard that 50 million times about guys. But actually, with Jarvis, it was actually true. It was like when he was on the field, positive things happened, particularly from a turnover perspective. Somehow, just him being on the field, miraculously turnovers started to happen. And, you know, this defense needs guys like him that, for some reason or the other, his skill set, his strength, maybe his athleticism. When he's on the field, positive things happen, particularly from the standpoint of turnovers. One thing I would have liked to have seen would have been him being able to get a sack or get to the quarterback. I think that would have just cemented a fabulous preseason for me. But he seems to be everything that they've said, a guy that has that itch and that nose for the football.
You used the word miraculous a little bit ago. I find it kind of sad in a way that we do use that word in a way to describe the Steelers' ability to take the ball away from their opponents. Over the last two seasons, the Steelers rank in the bottom 10 of the NFL in takeaways. And this is coming from a top 5 finish in that same category in 2010. I don't think it's a coincidence. The Steelers went to the Super Bowl in 2010. We're going to get into the game against the Titans here in a little bit. For now, we're going to take a quick break, so stick around. We're going to be right back. And welcome back to The Standard is the Standard here. I am Neil Kulong alongside Lance Williams. We're talking to you recording Wednesday evening, 24 hours, give or take, before the start of the NFL season. The Steelers don't play Thursday because they did not win the Super Bowl. You probably noticed that at some point this brutally long offseason. It all ends on Sunday, though, Lance. We got a 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff against the Tennessee Titans, and I want to talk about them a little bit because, to be honest with you, this game kind of worries me a little bit. It seems to be kind of a matchup problem in a lot of ways for the Steelers. They have something of a rebuilt offensive line. They've got two new guards, including Andy LaVitra, who's one of the better guards in the game, along with a highly touted Chase Wormack, out of the University of Alabama, the second highest guard ever drafted behind Jonathan Cooper, who tragically broke his leg and is out for the 2012 season. So he's kind of the top rated, you know, rookie guard coming into this. And guard can be a position in which rookies can make a big impact right away. The Titans offensive line was, you know, not strong, to put it mildly, last season, but they made a lot of improvements internally. When they have the running game that you know that they're going to get going, with against the Steelers defensive line that is probably going to be playing a different kind of technique. They're going to have a new nose tackle for the first time since 2001. What can we expect from that? Because it's a concern to me, not so much in a talent perspective, but we don't know what we're going to get from the Steelers defensive line, and Tennessee has ramped up tremendously at that position.
When I took a look at the Steelers this preseason, I think Steve McClendon's play, and remissly we didn't talk about it in the opening segment, I think his play along with Jarvis Jones on that defense in the preseason were one of the things that stood out to me. And I took a look at the game last night, the Tennessee Titan game and the Steeler game from last year, 2012, and one of the plays that stood out to me was a fantastic play that Steve McClendon made in the fourth quarter playing against the stretch play when he was able to move laterally down the line of scrimmage, get penetration, and really cut off that running play for a loss. I love the way Steve McClendon is playing. I love his energy. I love his lateral quickness. And I like his ability to particularly push centers into the backfield. I think the Steelers are going to do pretty well against that Tennessee front five, that offensive line. I took a look at Womack a couple times also. And I think he's a powerful player, but I think he struggles a bit in pass protection. And so I think Dick LeBeau will be able to, at times in this game, present some things that may be able to challenge that young offensive lineman from an intellectual standpoint as well. So I like the matchup of the Steelers' defensive line going up against this Titans front.
To add a wrinkle to it, it appears the Tennessee Titans are going to be one of the teams this season to mix in what Mike Tomlin calls the trendy trend, I guess, within the NFL, the zone read option. They're going to run a lot of pistol. They're going to get young quarterback Jake Locker on the move, and they're going to see what he can do down the field. What worries me about the Titans is their receiving corps. When you have a guy like Kenny Britt, and let's just assume for a second that he's not in jail under suspension or injured, when he's on the field, he makes things happen. And we saw last season what he did to the Steelers secondary, Ike Taylor in particular. It really, to me, made the difference in that game. A team that, man for man, should not have beaten the Steelers. I don't care what day of the week it was. I don't care where they played the game. They shouldn't have won that if it was not for Kenny Britt and the tremendous matchup advantage that they had. And a big part of that was due to the fact the Steelers secondary at that point was, you know, still kind of trying to find itself. They didn't roll over a safety. They really played one deep coverage and let Taylor stick with Britt on the outside. I don't think that's something we're going to see this game, largely because the guy's too big. He's too much of a playmaker. When you're going to get your quarterback on the move, you've got to worry about those kinds of things. You need to account for, you know, receivers being able to make plays after the quarterback breaks contain. So from a defensive, Titans offense versus Steelers defense, I think that's going to be really where this game is going to be won. If we flip it over, the Steelers offense against Tennessee's defense, you get a lot from a guy like Bernard Pollard. Now, he's kind of a punk. He's a trash talker. He's a big hitter. He's the kind of guy that's going to rack up a few fines this year. But he's going to make that defense more aggressive. Is the Steelers offense prepared to play that kind of physical game against a team that's led by a lightning rod like Bernard Pollard?
It'll be interesting for the positives that Bernard Pollard brings from a coverage standpoint. I think he's a guy they get after from a coverage standpoint. The Kenny Britt problem is just, it just is what it is. I think you hopefully go into that game and you try to limit the big plays that he may be able to get against you. You tackle him, you tackle the catch, and you try to limit yards after the catch. But I think also the key for the Steelers from a defensive standpoint is trying to get adequate and sufficient pressure on Jake Locker and to keep Jake Locker in the pocket if they can to force Jake Locker to make plays in this game with his arm and not his legs. And it's interesting that you talk about the Titans using the pistol in the zone read because they did not show much of that, and that could be a significant disadvantage to the Steelers because Tennessee didn't put much of that on film in the preseason. But I think Dick LeBeau will have a solid plan for what Tennessee wants to present in this first game.
I think LeBeau is going to be ready for it. He's talked about that a couple times this offseason, and Mike Tomlin seemed to make it the subject of the hour at his press conference on Tuesday. He seems very intent to point out that regardless of what Tennessee did, they know that they have this plan. They know that they have an athletic quarterback, a mobile kid who might not be able to throw down the field all that well. But you know, as the Steelers saw, I hate to bring it up, in the 2011 playoffs, when you get a quarterback that's athletic, things can break down and plays can happen. You know, you hate to see that kind of stuff when it's happening against you, but certainly with Ben Roethlisberger as a quarterback, Steelers fans have seen that time and time again. Now, I'm not in any way, shape, or form comparing Jake Locker to Ben Roethlisberger. He's a lot more like Tim Tebow than he is like Roethlisberger. But the top-to-bottom point is it's going to have to be a contained defense, but I agree with your earlier point about Warmack as far as pass protection goes. And I think this is where you're going to see the rookie Jarvis Jones really bringing the noise over that A-gap. I think they're really going to attack that and try to get some cracks and pressure. You know, one of the best ways to get a quarterback, you know, whether he wants to move or not, to get him out of his comfort zone is to push him up front. And if you have a guy like McClendon who can penetrate a gap along with a blitzing linebacker on the inside, that space is going to get real small for that quarterback real fast. He's going to have to drop back, and then he's going to have to move to the outside. That's more time for, you know, edge rushers to get after him, to squeeze him in to get sacked. I'm really excited to see the Steelers defense, not just in this game, but all season just because of those things. I think they got a lot more athletic. They got a lot more explosive than they have been. And they're going to make plays. You know, that's cliche, what, 9 or 10 now probably, with 4 of them being something about making plays. But that's what this defense has not done. And I think they can handle a Tennessee offense if they can get turnovers. And that's something that's lacked. Knowing that, the Steelers seem to have a fully healthy Troy Polamalu back. How big is that for this defense? What kind of impact is that going to have for the season? And is there a player Tennessee does not want to see more than Polamalu, considering the history of plays that he's made against that team in particular?
I mean, a healthy Troy is what it is. I mean, it's great to have. I mean, he still shows flashes of being that Tasmanian devil that he was in the past. His knowledge of the game is impeccable. His anticipation is impeccable. He's a hitter. And also, I think the biggest thing that Troy does for a defense is he brings uncertainty to offenses. And the other thing he does is Troy limits big plays. He's that one guy that when everything goes wrong, and other guys miss a tackle, and he needs to be the guy, and he makes that ankle tackle. He trips a guy, and he limits it to a 7-yard run as opposed to 20. So when you have Troy Polamalu on the field, not only does he make plays, but he also limits big plays that offenses make. And Dick LeBeau is always going to take his shot of you driving the long field or you putting together multiple play drives of 7 plays or more to score. He'll take that all day long. And Troy Polamalu really helps the Steelers defense do that.
When you have 43, you can play that kind of a defense. It's really the tackle, the catch, bend but don't break, because it's really hard to put a 10-play drive together. I don't care who you are as a quarterback. It's hard to do that. Polamalu will get you eventually. The best example of that I can remember is week one of the 2010 season. Matt Ryan hit Roddy White, I think, for 13 passes or something. He tried a 14th time, and Polamalu picked him off. You know, Jeff Reed misses the field goal at the end of regulation. They have to win in overtime. That's beside the point. I'm going to use that, though, to segue into my overly dramatic statement of the night. The 2010, I think it was week 2, game against the Tennessee Titans was the greatest team defensive effort I've seen this team have. And, you know, I was born at the end of the Steel Curtain era, so I didn't see live the complete and total domination of that team. But Vince Young, the quarterback of that game for the Titans, was constantly harassed. It honestly was like there was 14 Steelers defenders on the field at all times. Do you remember that game?
I remember it well. That's the game where James Harrison became Bruno Sammartino and slammed Vince Young on his head with a suplex. That was great.
An interesting side note, the first line of James Harrison's career. $5,000 for the suplex of Vince Young, who probably at that point weighed about 260. The best part of it was, Aaron Smith was hanging on him too. Harrison picked them both up and dropped Young on his head. It was absolutely unbelievable display of defensive dominance in that game. As you might remember, and we're going to use this to segue into everyone's favorite running back, but as you might remember, Lawrence Timmons put a hit on Titans running back Chris Johnson in that game that basically knocked him out. Chris Johnson, I don't know if he lost consciousness or not, but Timmons hit him hard. I mean, he went down. I don't think he came back into the game after that. I remember it being a sweltering hot day in Nashville. The Titans wore their white uniforms for that game to make the Steelers wear black, which was a mistake. But Timmons, the force that he generated on that play, that's the kind of Lawrence Timmons I think people want to see this year. But at the same time, some of it could have been the fact that Chris Johnson had gone for -2 yards for 14 straight carries, and then he busted one about 80 yards right before that play that got called back on a holding call. How pivotal is stopping Chris Johnson to winning this game on Sunday?
I think it's not as important as stopping Kenny Britt, but, you know, you and I both know, and listeners, you guys know as well, you know, when teams are two-dimensional or multidimensional or multiple, if they can get the running game and passing game going, then, you know, they're tough to beat. And when you're playing a quarterback like a Jake Locker on the road, a very young, immature, inconsistent quarterback, you've got to take away the running game. You've got to put the game in his hands, so to speak. And if he's allowed to be able to give it to Chris Johnson, and Chris Johnson get them 4 and 5 yards a pop, and they stay in some very manageable down and distance situations, then it becomes incredibly hard to win that game. So, you know, second to stopping Kenny Britt, you have to stop Chris Johnson and put that game into Jake Locker's hands. And if Jake Locker beats you, it says everything. You're at home, week one, and you can't beat a Jake Locker. That says everything. So put it in Jake's hands, take away Chris Johnson, and let's see what happens and roll the dice.
If they do that and Jake Locker wins, it certainly forces a very long night for me on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. I know how much fun it was last year with Matt Hasselbeck as a quarterback. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here, Lance, but I'm going to leave it with this, and I want you to think about this over the break. Steelers favored by 7 points. What's your prediction and why? We're going to be right back. Not give you enough time to listen to Stairway to Heaven, but feel free to play that right now. I'm Neil Coulong, managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain, with Lance Williams here talking Steelers football in week one. Lance, 7-point Steeler favorites in this game, playing at Heinz Field, 1 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff in Pittsburgh. Who you got and why?
I'm going to take the Steelers to win. They have not lost I know one of your listeners out there will absolutely know this stat, but they haven't lost a home opener in quite some time. I don't like Jake Locker on the road. I think Dick LeBeau will reach into his proverbial bag of tricks, another cliche, and pull out something nice and nasty for the Tennessee Titans. And the Steelers can't score more than 23 points, it seems. So my score, Steelers start off the season in fine fashion with a dominating defensive performance. They get a couple of turnovers, and they win the ball game 23-13.
You give them 23. They're going to get a few field goals out of it, sounds like. Start Sean Sweezum this week. I think this is going to be a field goal battle. It's going to be a defensive battle. I'm going to give this one to the Steelers 16-10. They will not cover because I just don't feel – this offense is at a point that they're going to be better offensively by week 7 than they were in week 1. Now, everyone, you know, would probably agree with that just through the natural progression of the season. But just like last year, they're not going to find who they are offensively right away. It's going to take them a little bit. They're going to take their lumps right away. But defensively, I think they can lock this team down. I think the big play advantage on the offensive side of the ball, though, is going to go to Tennessee. And I think they're going to keep it competitive with the threat of that, but the Steelers are going to pull this one off 16-10. But that's going to be that for this edition of The Standard is the Standard. I'm Neil Coulong, Lance Williams. It's been a thin slice of heaven, as always. We're going to check you later. Be sure to listen, leave some comments, let us know why we suck and anything else we should talk about next week. I'm Neil Coulong, he's Lance Williams. Thanks for listening.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Here we go. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Here we go.
I'm jumping out of my skin. I can't believe the Steelers won.
Here we go. Steelers. Here we go.
Pittsburgh's won the Super Bowl. Here we go. Won the Super Bowl. Here we go.
Super Bowl, baby!
Woo! Big Ben for president. What a tackle. What a tackle. It's what we do. What a tackle. What a tackle.
Hey, Ben, you're closing in on 30,000 yards. What does that mean for you?
I just found out. You know, it's I've never been one about individual goals, but you know, it's more about the team for me. Those are to me, that's things I look back on when I'm done with my a little bit after the season, but mostly when I'm done with my career. I look back and think about how great it might have been.
What do you think this offense is? I mean, at this point, you saw a little bit of it, limited sample size in the preseason.
Well, you know, there's always going to be room for improvement. You know, I don't know that we'll ever be satisfied with where we're at, but for this time of year and for where we're at, I think we're in a good spot.
Ben, like being under the radar, it seems like you guys are a little bit as far as expectations.
A little bit. We're very under the radar. That's fine with me. I like being the hunter.
Ben, has your approach to an opener changed over the years? What it's always been?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it's first game, you always get a little bit of jitters and nerves regardless of what year it is, but you know, it's playing at home. You want to come out and get a good taste in your mouth and let the fans have something to really get excited about.
You guys have come off Super Bowl years and non-playoff years. Is it ever different because of what happened the year before?
No, I mean, for some people maybe. For me, no. It's the approach has to be the same, regardless of what happened the year before. You have to approach the first game and every game like it's the biggest. And I think the thing about a first game of the year is it kind of sets the tempo, usually should set the tempo for your season. So that being said, me personally and us as a team, we want to come out and set an early tempo.
And what's your reaction to McGuire's release? How do you think our eyes are going to be running game?
Well, I think our running backs will be great. I'm excited to see what Felix can do here in Pittsburgh, and then Lerod as well. So I know what Redmond brings to the table because he's been here and he's a good back for us. So I'm just excited to see what happens on Sunday with everybody out there.
Any surprise about John? I mean, leading rusher last year, leading rusher in the preseason.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is that's a perfect example. This is a business. You know, I don't know what the decision was, why it happened, all those little details, but. You never like to lose a teammate, you know, it's a brother, but we wish him the best, him and his family, and hope that everything goes good for him.
Ben, did you get a good balance during the preseason of getting enough work but also getting enough rest to feel good physically going into the season?
I do feel good physically, so that's key one, and I feel like I got a good enough amount of work in that will be ready to roll.
And the team have this year's version of the Steelers hasn't tasted a win yet. You know, if you're 0-4, do you see a little bit more of a pep in the guys' step this week now that the games matter?
Well, you know, I really don't care about winning or losing preseason games anyway. Couldn't tell you what the preseason record is in my career. You know, that's why it's a preseason. You want to get some work in and let young guys get a chance to make a team, if you ask me. But for us, there's pep in our step because it's the first game of the year. You know, we're excited about it and we're ready to get back to football.
And I know it's the next guy up, and not having Keith out there in the offense. How does that change?
Well, he's the best tight end in the game. So not only is he a comfort blanket for me, he opens up the outside receivers because he requires so much attention from linebackers and safeties down the middle of the field and short passes underneath stuff. So we'll definitely miss him and hope and wish him a speedy recovery.
Why do you think you guys aren't going under the radar so much, nationally?
Because we're 8-8. We lost some veteran guys. We're getting too old. We're too young. There's a lot of reasons. We could spend all day probably.
All right, so why should none of that actually be, come to fruition? Why?
Oh, no, I'm fine with this being under the radar. They can say whatever they want.
But, I mean, aren't a lot of those things, you guys were 8-8, you are older in some places and younger in some places. Why is that not a reason to worry about?
Oh, no, the outsiders can doubt us all they want. That's fine.
Do you use that as motivation, or is it just something you like being under the radar? So?
Yeah, my motivation is trying to win every game and being the best I can be. So a lot of guys do use that, and, there's no secret that we want to be great so that we can rub it in all your guys' faces,
And it's hard to know what really to expect from Tennessee's defense, Greg Williams, what order some of the things.
Yes. Yeah, we've watched a lot of film. We've watched last year's game. We've watched preseason stuff. We've watched Saints stuff. You know, we don't know what to expect, so we're preparing a little bit for everything. I would have to expect a lot of what we saw when we played the Saints a couple years ago, a lot of crazy blitzes and different looks and stuff.
I just want to prove that I'm a starting running back in this league. I just want to go out there and prove that I worked hard all summer and, just prove that I'm a starting running back.
Only touching the ball twice in live action during the preseason. What have you done in the past couple of weeks to make sure that you're ready for games?
I've been working hard all summer, all training camp. Even though I've only had 2 carries in the preseason game, I've had carries at practice. I've been practicing, and, I just haven't been playing.
Go out there and give it all you got. You know, even on the first play or the last play, and because you never know what'll happen.
Something that never, all the opportunities in Dallas. First round draft pick you have that over. Take that through your career. The expectations are always going to be higher. How come becoming that number one guy all the time? How come that never really happened?
I don't know. I really can't say. I definitely went out there and I did whatever, gave it my best. And, that right there, I can't answer. That's something for, a coach or, somebody like that to answer. So, I just knew for myself, I went out there and I did my best and I gave it my all.
When you go over to the Eagles and then they trade you over here. I mean, did you feel like, you know, I remember you said over that first game, I believe I can still do this. But was that shaken at all? I mean, when you go from Dallas to Philadelphia and you see that some rookies, some younger guys are getting some run in those first couple games and you're not, I mean, did you sit there and think, man, am I running, is my time running out?
No, not at all. You know, I definitely got confidence in myself and what I can do. And, you know, just like I said, just given the opportunity to go out there and make a play, you know, that's what I got to do. You know, every play that I get, go out there and make the best of it and, you know, try to create something from that.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Here we go.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Here we go.
And I am jumping out of my skin. I can't believe the Steelers won.
Here we go. Steelers. Here we go.
Pittsburgh's won the Super Bowl. Here we go.
Steelers gonna win the Super Bowl.
Here we go. Steelers, here we go.
Pittsburgh's won the Super Bowl. Here we go.
Super Bowl, baby! Woo!
You having been around them, how do you think that changes maybe what they do, or what do you think
is
the influence of it?
I would have to know what they did first to know how it changes anything. Greg is obviously an aggressive coordinator. He's an aggressive defensive mind, extremely intelligent. I think what kind of got lost in everything that he went through down in New Orleans was how intelligent this man truly is. So I know from a preparation standpoint, they will be prepared to play. They will know what how we want to attack them and how they want to defense that. They're going to be aggressive. You know, that's the way he coaches. He coaches physicality. And so we know we're going to have to match that on defense because we understand the type of intensity that he will bring to the Tennessee Titans.
What was it like working with him? Was he as intense as he appears to be?
It was fine. I mean, it doesn't, when you grow up around football people, you know, there's different levels. Was Greg intense? Yes, but I had little league coaches who were more intense than Greg was, who probably used more profanity and were more excited about football than he was. It's just part of being passionate about this game. And he was passionate, but he also had the ability to be a human, for you to be able to go in his office and talk to him. And, you know, he'd cross his leg with those glasses on and talk about all the books that were behind him. So he was a man that had a variety of different faces, which I think you have to do in order to coach football.
Brian, there was a story the other day where you were quoted as saying, I think that you ran into Cam Cameron, a guy that you know, during the off season.
Yeah.
Is that right? And he kind of, I don't know, maybe gave you some feedback on how you and
yeah.
play together?
Yeah, we definitely, you know, I asked him, you know, how he saw our defense, and it wasn't anything necessarily specific. He was just kind of just joking about how hard it was to prepare for us, you know, early. When he got into the division, but as you know, after playing us, you know, two times a year, you know, just like any regular person, any other team, any other football player, you get into rhythms and you have a rhythm of things you like to do. And he said, you know, as he, you know, furthered himself, got further into the series, he kind of understood what we were trying to do. And so, you know, we kind of took that up on ourselves to learn different things about each other, to learn ways to play defenses differently. It was definitely very good feedback to have and good information.
So you kind of peppered him with questions maybe on how he and they tried to attack you guys?
Not so much necessarily how Baltimore tried to attack us, because Baltimore had a specific set of people that can attack us in certain ways. But just as a defensive, as an offensive coordinator, how he saw us, you know, how hard was it to prepare for us? And in preparing for us, does anything change? And, you know, it was always just great conversation back and forth. But he was very, very informative, extremely intelligent. And I think it helped, you know, Troy and I, who try to be as cerebral about this game as possible.
Now, you've said, too, on the record here before the season that Troy is in a pretty good space right now, shape-wise and everything else.
Yeah, definitely. Troy looks amazing. You know, I know the type of work he put in this offseason. He was as easy to find this offseason as he ever was. You know, usually you call Troy 18 times before he ever gets back to you. We spoke every week, spoke about training, we spoke about the way he was eating, spoke about preparation for this season, and, you know, it definitely paid off. He's as small as he's been in the last few years, as healthy as he's been in a long time, as you can see by being able to practice every day, being able to play in every preseason game. And Troy alone can play without practice. You know what I mean? But I think as a group, to have him out there and to have him practicing and kind of be able to feel what he's going to do during the game, it helps us all.
Look,
I didn't really have a good game last year against Tennessee. As a D-back, does that stick with you guys?
Nah.
Is that something where he says
not with Ike, for sure. Ike is Ike, you know what I mean? He has the perfect cornerback mind. He feels like the next guy he plays against or the next game, he's going to go out and compete well and do well. And so that's why you like him on the corner. That's why you match Ike up with the best guy. Ike has a saying, you know, and he breaks us down in the huddle. It's not always grammatically correct, or it's not necessarily worded the way it should be, but it always says you have to play like the guy, you know, with a he thinks he's better than me mentality. And what he means by that is everybody you face against is coming out saying to himself, I'm going to beat this guy. I'm better than this guy in front of me. I have no respect for this guy in front of me. And he takes that approach whenever he plays the game. And I think that's how it will be this week. You know, we watched the film. You know, we've seen a few of their guys, you know, talking and mouthing off after certain plays. And that's the great thing about football, man. You get to correct that. You get opportunities to go out and it's like Quantum Leap. You know, Sam Beckett, he used to go back in time and, you know, and put right what once went wrong. No kids, none of the kids understand this, but you guys do. And he gets the opportunity to do that.
What's it going to mean to you? I love this show. So opening day is always special, but to get to go out as a captain and lead your guys on the field.
You know what was honestly funny? In college, every time they would vote for captains, and they never voted me, by the way, I was like, I didn't want it. I never wanted to be a captain. I always run out of the tunnel last. I had to hug like 18 people on the sideline before I can even play a game. Coach Tomlin even asked me last year against Washington, did I want to go out and be a captain? And I was like, I'm good, coach. I just want to stick to my routine. So going out for the coin toss, in one way would be weird for me, but it's also it's a blessing and it's an honor. When a team like this, when the people that you respect in the way I do, the people in this locker room pick you to do it, it's going to be exciting for me. A little nerve-wracking, but exciting all the same.
It's going to be nerve-wracking. You've done this for about 10 years, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm nervous. I'm nervous every game, though. You know what I mean? I think when I stop being scared, that's when it's time for me to hang them up. That little bit of those little butterflies, it lets you know that you're still alive. It lets you know that it's still important. But it also lets you know that you respect this game. And so I like it. I like being nervous. I'm on edge probably about the first three plays, and then I calm down and have a good time.
What's the excitement level this year, Ryan, based on what it usually is for you? Does the thing change or date change it?
I'm still the same. I'm still the same dude, man. And that's what's great about it. Being the captain is not going to change me. I know I heard Kiesel say he learned that being the captain, he had to be more outspoken and speak up more. I got that part down. You know what I mean? So I'm not worried about that part of it. But, you know, people always ask, you know, every time you see somebody and they recognize you, you know, out on the street, they always ask the same thing. You ready for Sunday? And my answer is always the same. I'll be ready around 12:59. You know what I mean? That's when I'll be ready. That's when I'll be focused and ready to play the game. I think I've gotten to the point now, I understand the process, understand the preparation for the game, and you have to be ready to play when it's time, no sooner, no later.
That propensity for speaking your mind, do you think that maybe is one of the reasons that you weren't the captain for, you know?
No, because I never said anything wrong as far as my team goes. I've never been critical of a teammate. I've never been critical of a coach or this organization. I think the reasons that I wasn't captain is because we had very good candidates in front of me, you know, and that's the way it goes. I think another part of it is it was never a big deal of mine, you know. I never had to be the guy speaking in the huddle. I never had to be the person in front of everybody. I wanted to work hard and, you know, and show genuine love and concern and care for people. You know, I always was the guy who threw dinners. I always was the guy who had people over for Thanksgiving, you know, and those things are leadership to me. Getting to go out for the coin toss is a plus. It lets everybody else know that you care for your team and you're concerned for them. But it's the little things that you get opportunities to do to touch people's lives, young people, and your teammates that matter.
Hey, Ryan, you guys have had success against Chris Johnson. Is it just a matter of being?
It's luck. It's luck, man. It's not letting Chris Johnson get a crack. He's a guy, he scares you. I mean, if you get the ball and you stop him for 5 yards, 2 yard loss, 1 yard loss, it doesn't matter because he can go 80 the next play. So for us, it's about knowing your gap, being in front of him, and you got to tackle him. You know, that's really the main thing about it is getting him on the ground. He's a guy you can get close to a lot of times and never get opportunity to wrap him up because he's so quick, so shifty, and so explosive. But we've done a good job. I mean, he's also gotten out on us a few times. Coach Tomlin
and showing us the film. It's almost, this is like an AFC North team as much as we play them. And so I think we have a good feel for them. I think one thing that happens, though, when you get to play us a lot, when you have to play against Lawrence Timmons a lot of times and, you know, James Harrison in the past and, you know, Lamar and the guys that we've had up front, you get tired of getting hit and you know you're going to get hit. And so we have to be physical with them early and kind of get them out of, you know, wanting to run the ball against us.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. And I am jumping out of my skin. I can't believe the Steelers won.
Here we go. Steelers. Here we go.
Pittsburgh's won the Super Bowl. Here we go.
Steelers gonna win the Super Bowl.
Here we go. Steelers. Here we go.
Pittsburgh's won the Super Bowl. Here we go.
Super Bowl, baby! Woo! Duke Dunn for president.